Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hey, hey, hier ist Carina. Warum Dermot Kennedy auf Tour seine Spielkonsole immer dabei hat und wieso er gern mal eine Schnitzeljagd mit seinen Fans macht, das und mehr hört ihr in der neuen Folge.
Okay. Hi, Dermot. Nice to meet you.
What's up? How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you? How's life?
I'm good. Yeah, life's good. Thanks.
That's great. I'm mildly excited, I have to say. I almost saw you in Germany one time. Almost.
Oh, really? Which one?
I think it was 2019, Mainz, and then you cancelled.
Oh, yeah, my voice exploded.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I forgive you.
thank you. But that was a tough time for me. I had to sort of learn how to sing all over again.
Oh, damn. Okay, I get that. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in a better place now.
I saw that you were recently in Italy.
Yep.
Did you eat enough pasta for the next month?
Absolutely, yeah. Until the next time I'm there, I'll be full of it, yeah.
That's great. All right, your new single, Something to Someone. Just tell us, what's the song about?
Yeah, this is basically a song about reflection, you know, and about kind of a desire to be a bit more present in each current moment, because I think something I'm guilty of, and I think something we all do, is kind of just take things for granted, you know, and move through life very quickly. And I think life is short, you know, and I think so you should try and live in each moment as fully as you can. And a lot of my music kind of holds that message, and it's often a message to myself because I'm the worst at it. I certain memories and stuff, they're so powerful, but I wish sometimes I could be more present and just live things in that moment. And I think I need to get better at that. But so it's almost a message to myself, but in love, in relationships, any kind of relationship, just to really feel that present moment.
Yeah, I think we all do. We all need to do that. Are there more songs to come? Do you plan on putting out more music maybe this year?
Of course. Yeah, I got a lot of music coming this year, and it all feels very special. It feels like it's a nice step forward for me in my career. It's a nice step forward from the last album. Just feels like a healthy progression, and I'm very excited for people to hear it. It's about time.
You've got some crazy schedule coming up, being on tour. Are you excited?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important for me to kind of, I don't know, I'm at an age in my life, and I'm at a point in my career where, like, I love being busy, you know, and I feel like I'm at my best when I'm at my busiest, and that just works for me at the moment, because, I don't know, between first and second album, it's just, that's when you want to be busy. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to being back on tour, to be honest, like living on a bus and away from the real world for a while.
It's like being in your own bubble.
Oh, seriously, it really, really is. You feel like you don't exist, and then every day you get to do the coolest thing. So that's fun.
You're also doing some festivals here in Germany. Is doing festival different to doing like a solo show? How's the crowd different?
Yeah, it's different for sure, because if you do a solo show, like a headline, you kind of know that the crowd likes you already. Whereas in a festival, it feels like you kind of have to win them over a bit, and I enjoy that feeling. And it kind of reminds me of when I used to play in the street, because it feels like people are going to figure out whether they like you or not when they hear you. And that's fun to me, because I've always been kind of confident that I could win someone over with the way I sing and with the show I have. And so it's a fun challenge, to be honest, playing festivals. Plus, like, it just feels like there's less pressure, because, like I said, people don't necessarily know what they expect. So it just feels a bit more free when you play festivals sometimes.
Do you like going to festivals yourself?
Kind of. It's a bit muddy. I'm not sure. Sometimes I look out and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how people are doing that. Like, I remember there was a festival in Ireland called Oxygen that used to run for a few years, and it was so good. Like, the lineup was crazy. And I went to that when I was like 16, 17, 18. And, we'd go every year, and you get a tent. And I lived, like, my home is like down the road from that festival. And my mom would, like, because it would rain because it's Ireland. And so it just becomes like a swamp. And then my mom would always be like, do you want to come home and shower or whatever? And I'd be like, no, you have to do 3 days without ever leaving. And so it was pretty nasty. So I do love going to festivals, but not when it's like mucky.
I get that. Me too.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing that happened in the crowd at one of your shows? Is there like a story?
Yeah, there's a few things have happened. I'm trying to think now because it's actually been a little while since we played a show. There was one guy, we played a show in Seattle once, and there was this one guy, it was the first time we played in Seattle, so it was just a bar, and it was like 200 people or something. And I looked down during a really intimate, quiet song, and it was really serious and not like aggressive at all. And there's this one guy who had these glasses on, and he took them off and just like, he like crushed the glasses in his hand. It was a very strange thing. It was as if he was like at a heavy metal show. It was really strange. And I actually think he got kicked out in the end because there was, he just had something going on, but it was mental. Yeah. He was just like pulverizing his glasses in his hand for no reason during a very serious song. I don't know. I need to talk to that guy.
He just couldn't handle how good you were. It's evident in your music that you're influenced by hip-hop, R&B. Is there some musician from that genre that you would love to collaborate with?
Oh yeah, tons. Like for me, like currently in hip-hop, like I think J. Cole is probably the best in the world, and I think he's my favorite. I think he everything, just like the sort of journey he's gone on and how his career has kind of panned out to me is very inspiring. I think that's someone who kind of does what he wants to do, can tour arenas and stadiums whenever he feels like it, and everybody knows he's the best. So to me, that's a very, very honorable sort of list. And so like, if I ever got the chance to work with him, I'd be so excited. From when I was a kid, 50 Cent to me is like incredible, still is. And just a very inspiring character in general. But yeah, no, I take a lot of inspiration from hip hop. I think one of the reasons I love it so much is because like they can spot the fakes from so far away. Like you can see in hip hop who's real and who's not. And I think it's very clear. And they're just storytellers. So to me, it's a very inspiring corner of music. Yeah.
Yeah. Same with German rap. You can just tell if someone's got it or not.
Sure, if someone's for real or not. And I think that can be harder in other parts of music, and so I find hip-hop very inspiring that way.
Yeah. Do you have a professional like bucket list on what's on top?
I kind of do, but like I was saying this earlier to somebody, I think it's important for me to not put too much weight in the bucket list, you know what I mean, and not to worry about it too much. Because like, say if my bucket list was to whatever, like win a Grammy, then you get one and it's like, okay, cool. Well, now my bucket list is to win 10 Grammys. And oh, if my bucket list is to play a headline show to 20,000 people, then it's 50,000. And it never ends, you know? And so I think it makes you question what makes you truly happy. And so like, it sounds corny, like it really does, but like my bucket list in music would be to just, when it's all said and done, to be proud of everything and to regret nothing. I'd be very proud of that.
Well, I guess same goes for life in general, right?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. And like, you just have to be aware of what life's true prize is, because otherwise you just keep chasing stuff.
Well, I've read that you're a huge sports fan. What's your favorite sport?
Oh, football, for sure. Yeah. It's the best. It just is. I mean, like, yeah, I love sport in general. And I don't know, I think like the hip hop thing, I'm drawn to people who are kind of so driven and elite at anything. I think it's a very inspiring thing to see. And it's nice, to be honest, like sport takes me away from music, and that's a good thing for me, to spend some time away from music and to sort of get out of my own head. Like I used to play football at a pretty good level in Ireland. And even when I was in New York the last few months, I was playing on a team there, and it's very good for me because it just kind of clears my head, you know. And it's very important for me to have that in my life and to just not think about music for 2 hours a day, you know. That's huge for me because it does. It keeps me up at night, you know.
Everyone needs kind of a balance to
normal. For sure.
work.
Oh, and it's funny because it's like when you have a career in music, like there is no balance, you know, like it's just it's all or nothing. And that's a beautiful thing, but it can be tricky sometimes too.
So if in Munich, FC Bayern would say, come and play, would you?
Yeah, I'd think about it. Yeah, me and Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could eat one dish for, say, the rest of the year, what would it be? Do you have a favorite dish?
Pop-Tarts. Yeah. You guys have Pop-Tarts, right?
We do, but they're hard to find. We don't really eat that.
See, that's happening. That's happening in Ireland, too. They're harder to come by. When I'm in America, you go into any supermarket, it's like a wall of Pop-Tarts, like 600 different flavors. And there's even stuff on them claiming they're nutritious. And it's mental. America's a different thing. But in Ireland, they're hard to come by. But yeah, I used to eat them every day before school when I was a kid.
Wow. Very good. I've never eaten one.
Yeah.
Never.
Not great for the development of my brain, I'd say.
Oh, wow. I think I have to eat one. Never done
for
that.
Sure.
So I saw that you did like a treasure hunt thing in Brooklyn. What was that?
Yeah, it's just I had a day off and I had nothing to do. And sometimes for me, I can find like days off like that really difficult because I get so busy that when I get a day off, it's like, okay, I have to relax. Like, I really have to. Like, I have to watch everything on Netflix and I have to, like, really relax really hard. And I end up getting stressed about even relaxing. And then, and so I thought a good in-between point would be something like that. And so I just, I wrote some lyrics to the new single down on some paper and I just cycled around Brooklyn and left them around. And I would post on Instagram where they were and then people would go and run after them and I would bump into people who were looking for them and stuff. It was fun. It's just like, to be honest, when you make music and you have a career in music, there's so many things that kind of take you further away from people. Like you play shows to say 10,000 people, you can't see any faces in the crowd. You go from the bus to the venue and back to the bus again to the hotel. You don't see any of the people who are actually supporting your music. You know, it's hard and that's a weird disconnect to me. And so stuff like that is really important to me to like get back to just being real with people, I think.
Yeah. You said that watching Netflix, do you have a favorite show to watch?
I was watching a show called Yellowstone, which was great. But also, I think my favorite thing on Netflix is Chef's Table. Do you ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Are you a foodie yourself? Do you like cooking?
I'm not great at cooking, but I'm great at eating. And I like all these restaurants. And I went to one the other day in Modena. It's like the first episode of Chef's Table is a guy called Massimo Bottura and he has this restaurant called Osteria Francescana in Modena. And I went there the other day, which was absolutely unbelievable.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
Spilling some tea at the end. Do you have something that like say me as a big fan or every fan of yours doesn't really know? Is there like a tiny secret that you don't really tell people that you do? I don't know.
Oh, it's interesting. I think for me, like if something's a secret, there's probably a good reason for that and it's something I shouldn't say on the radio. But if there's like harmless stuff, I don't know. I think, you know, one thing, and I would say to anybody to get at me on PlayStation Live, because I got this thing recently. It's like a suitcase that you can put your PlayStation in, and I'm about to go to Australia for a couple of weeks and it's perfect, so I can literally like the whole flight I'll be playing PlayStation. So I do expect to hear from some of your listeners and for them to get in touch with me, because I will be on there. So like, yeah, like same as football, like I think gaming and video games and stuff, it takes me out of my own head, and that's a good thing.
What are you playing then?
I think my favorite game ever was Assassin's Creed. That's always been my favorite game. It's like, it's essentially like a movie that plays out that you're in charge of, and that to me is incredible. And then, so I'll probably be playing that. FIFA too, I mean, if anyone wants to get at me in FIFA, that would be a good thing.
I won't try. I'm so bad. So
really? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. No, that was it for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Have a nice weekend and a great tour.
Thank you. Thanks for the chat. See you later.
Thank you.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Das Video und noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.